I'll be reading in Luke chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 8, praise the Lord. Let's stand together for the reading of the word, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Oh, Lord, I love you this morning. I'm thankful for this privilege to preach your word. I pray for this congregation that you'd bless them, build their faith, and help me and anoint me this morning, Lord. I pray, dear God, that your presence would be felt in your word. Our souls would be refreshed. I pray, Lord, that you'd do good to those sitting in this congregation, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on underestimating Jesus. And my text demonstrates the danger of underestimating Jesus. There are many people that forfeit great blessings due to their low expectations toward Christ. In my text, a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus came to Jesus to petition Jesus to follow him home and heal his 12-year-old daughter who was near death. And Jesus agreed to go, but he was interrupted on the journey by a sick lady who touched the hem of his garment and was healed. When Jesus finally arrived at Jairus' home, the little girl had died. The sound of funeral music filled the air. People wailing, weeping, mourning for the dead. And Jesus interrupted that mourning and raised that girl back to life, gave her back to her parents. In this story, Jesus obviously exceeded the expectations of the people. Twice he was underestimated. He was underestimated by the messenger. He was underestimated by the mourners. The messenger came from Jairus' home with a message for Jairus that your daughter is dead. And he saw no reason for Jesus to finish his journey. He dashed any hopes that Jairus had. "Your daughter is dead, and trouble not the master." Now let's suppose that Jairus had believed him, that Jesus was no longer needed, that the situation was beyond anything Jesus could do about it. And let's suppose that he dismissed Jesus and hastened to his home alone. If he'd have heeded this messenger and dismissed Jesus, he would have buried his daughter. I'm telling you, it is perilous to underestimate the Son of God. Jesus arrested the anguish in Jairus, saying to him, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And Jairus believed the master over the messenger. You hear me? I said, Jairus believed the master over the messenger. And the confidence of Christ revived his hope. Don't be afraid. Believe. Your daughter is going to be healed. I'm telling you, brother, those words from Jesus spoken with great confidence from the lips of the Son of God revived the hope in that man's heart. And he took courage from the confidence of Jesus and believed the master over the messenger. Everybody in this place, all of us are dealt hard blows in life. And we get messages from various sources, bad news that comes to us. But here is the question. Do we listen to the master instead of the messenger? And that is what Jairus did. He listened to the master. He believed Jesus. And I want to ask you the question, how bad does the news have to get before we dismiss Christ? How bad does the news have to get before we feel like Jesus is no longer able to help us? How bad does it have to get before we dismiss him and go alone without him? How hard does the battle have to be before we finally admit defeat? I'm telling you, brother, when you underestimate Christ, you give up too easy. When you underestimate Jesus, then it's easy for us to dismiss Christ. When things get really rough, we dismiss him because we feel like things have gotten out of control. But this man believed the master over the messenger. If he'd have believed the messenger, I'm telling you, perhaps some of us here this morning would have went home alone, lost in our despair, and watched our neighbors shovel the dirt on our dead daughter. But because this man believed, because this man took courage, because this man was convicted by the confidence of Jesus, he carried Christ home with him, and the story was completely different. Now, Jairus' expectation was heightened by the miracle of healing on the woman with the issue of blood. He saw this miracle take place. A dying woman was given a new lease on life. A woman who had been sick as long as his daughter has been living. His daughter was 12 years old. This woman had been sick for 12 long years. Spent all she had on the doctors and rather grew worse. She was dying. But she said, "If I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I believe I'll be made whole." She got there some way. In spite of the crowd, she got there. I don't know if it was somebody in this church, but somewhere that I was recently said, they realized that this woman had to get low to touch Jesus. She said, "If I can touch the hem of his garment." She didn't say, "If I can touch his head, or I can touch his hands, but if I can touch the hem of his garment, I believe I'll be made whole." And she got low, brother, and she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole of her sickness. Jesus healed that woman. And Jairus was an eyewitness of this woman's joy over being delivered from a sickness that had persisted in her for 12 long years. You know, crisis sometimes causes memory crash. We forget what God has done. But this was fresh in the mind of Jairus. He just watched a miracle take place. And it heightened his expectations when he saw a woman healed of a sickness that had clung to her for as long as his daughter had been living. We forget sometimes what God has done in the emotion of the moment. But the Word of God is given to us to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Scriptures ask the question in two different places, is there anything too hard for God? And the Scriptures give us the answer, there is nothing too hard for God. And God asked Jeremiah this question, is there anything too hard for God? And he told Jeremiah, he said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. No matter what you have seen out of God, you have not seen nothing yet. If you'll call on God, I'm telling you, he will bring about in your life things you never thought possible. Jesus can do the impossible. Hallelujah. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But the mourners also underestimated Jesus. When Jesus informed them that the maid was not dead but was sleeping, they switched from mourning to mocking. And Jesus used that term sleeping to describe the death of people who were righteous believers. They were at rest, not tormented, not suffering. They were at rest. And this little girl, Jesus said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. Well, they mocked him. They ridiculed Jesus. We know she's dead. She's beyond help. She's beyond hope. But Jesus walked into that room where that corpse lay and spoke to that girl and said, maid, arise. I'm telling you, wherever she was, she heard him. And she responded to what Jesus commanded. Now, you know, they used to tell me you can walk around a grave so many times and ask the person in the grave what they're doing, and they'll say nothing. And I tried it. And they said nothing. And I'm telling you, they didn't hear what I had to say. But when Jesus speaks to dead people, they hear what he's got to say. And Jesus spoke to that little girl, made arise. She got up, brother. I'm telling you, Jesus raised that girl back to life. You know why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. And he has all power in heaven and in earth. And he conquers death. And there's no power above the power of the Son of God. Hey, brother. We often underestimate Jesus in our own life. And the Scriptures teach us that unbelief hinders the working of Christ. At Nazareth, the Bible says that this is his hometown, that Jesus did not many miracles there because of their unbelief. But now, get this. I want you to listen to me close now. This story that I just read to you illustrates the fact that the faith of a few produces results when most are mocking. When Jesus went into where this young girl was to raise her to life, he ran the mockers out. He took with him the believers, James and John and Peter and mom and daddy. And he went in there where she was at, and I'm telling you, Jairus had not dismissed Jesus because he believed the word Jesus spoke to him. Don't be afraid. Only believe your daughter is going to be made whole. And those that believed went in with him and witnessed the miracle of Jesus raising that young girl back to life. He excluded those who underestimated him. Now I know that there are those who are concerned, and rightly so, that producing unwarranted expectations in the minds of people that's in crisis may damage their faith in God if God does not perform according to their expectations. And this has obviously happened to many people. I had an aunt that backslid and became bitter for a while when God didn't heal my grandmother of a cerebral hemorrhage. But I want to tell you something. Our faith embraces not only the power of God, but our faith also embraces the wisdom of God. And God's choices in our crisis may disappoint us, but only because we do not fully understand the decision of God. But anybody who loves God and who trusts God, God's decisions will make sense to us if we only knew everything God knows. So we trust the power of God. We trust the wisdom of God. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. We don't underestimate him. And the thrust of my message concerns something beyond our expectation of Christ. I'm concerned about our estimation of Christ. And our estimation affects our expectation. And we must think in terms of what Christ is capable of doing. You hear me? I said we must think in terms of what Christ is capable of doing. Underestimating Christ is dangerous to your spiritual health. You hear me? I said underestimating Christ is dangerous to your spiritual health. It'll sap your zeal for Christ. It's caused people to backslide when troubles mounted in their life, pressures built in their heart and in their life. And they underestimated the Son of God and walked away from the Son of God because they felt like that their circumstance and situation was beyond the help of Jesus. I'm telling you, what I'm preaching to you is critical to you this morning. We must not underestimate the Son of God. We must not underestimate Jesus. It's dangerous to our spiritual health. When Christ was crucified, the disciples were not expecting Christ to rise from the dead. They lost direction. They became depressed. They were in despair. They were weeping and crying. They were meeting together, but not in anticipation of seeing the resurrected Christ. They were meeting together for fear of the Jews. They underestimated Christ. But on that first day of the week, Jesus showed up while they mourned, and he convinced them that he had conquered hell and he had conquered death. And he transformed those disciples from mourners over his death to messengers of his resurrection. I'm telling you, in a moment's time, brother, these people became convinced that Jesus had conquered death and conquered hell. And they went from mourners over the death of Jesus to messengers of his resurrection. and carried that message far and wide that Jesus has conquered death and risen from the dead. Underestimating Christ leads to backsliding. And Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is written to reverse that spiritual regression of the Jewish believers. And their problem was their loss of esteem for Christ. And so in the book of Hebrews, the writer is setting Christ forth as being greater than angels, greater than Moses, greater than Aaron, greater than Joshua. Over and over again, Jesus is declared to be greater, greater than angels, greater than Moses, greater than Aaron, greater than Joshua. He declares the greatness of Jesus Christ in order to arrest the backsliding of these Hebrew Christians. Christ's ease in our lives leads to a spiritual crash unless we perceive that Jesus never met a problem he could not solve, and he never met a foe he could not conquer. Did you hear me? I said Jesus never met a problem he could not solve, and never met a foe that he could not conquer. You see that man and his son at the Mount of Transfiguration. And this man has brought his son there because the devil has possessed this boy. Throws him in the fire. Throws him in the water. Tries to drown him. And when he gets to where he thinks Jesus is, Jesus is on the mountain. So he says to the disciples, "Help me with my son." And they can't. Jesus comes down from the mountain. He brings his son to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, he said, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything." This man was disappointed in the disciples. And he wondered if he's going to be disappointed in Jesus. "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Hey, this man was underestimating Jesus, the Son of God. For Jesus was not afraid of devils. And Jesus never met a devil he couldn't conquer. The devils pleaded with Jesus. But Jesus never pleaded with devils. He commanded devils. He told them what to do. They did what he said. Because Jesus had power over devils. Oh, glory to God. Whoa, I don't think y'all are getting this. And as Brother Randy says, it ain't your fault. But oh my, it's been a burning in my heart. I felt like yesterday God gave me this message for this congregation. We don't want to underestimate Jesus. I'm telling you, when we run into a crisis, we want to understand who he is. We want to understand what he's capable of doing. We want to face every crisis with our confidence in Jesus, esteeming him as who he is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has all power in heaven and in earth. Jesus looked at that man and said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." This is what the Lord is saying to us. Hey, listen, don't underestimate the Son of God. No matter how deep your valley may be, no matter how high the mountain is to climb, don't underestimate the Son of God. Jesus is able to do anything. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." In Matthew chapter 9, there are two blind men that approach Jesus and ask Jesus to heal them. And Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Hey, I don't know what your problem is this morning. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know the kind of problems that you brought to this place this morning. But I can look on faces across this congregation and I know you brought problems to the house of God this morning. And I doubt if there's a family here that's not wrestling and fighting and trying to find direction and trying to get help in some kind of circumstance in your life. I doubt if there's one family here that's trouble-free. I don't believe it. I believe everybody in this place has some problems and needs that only God can meet those needs. And God wants to build your confidence in the Son of God. Brother, it takes away despair when we realize how wonderful Jesus is. It takes away our depression when we understand how great the Son of God is. It takes away our unbelief when we understand that there's nothing impossible with Jesus. And Jesus wants you to understand that it's a dangerous thing to underestimate Jesus and dismiss Him when you need Him the most. Brother, I'm facing situations. You're facing situations. But we're not going to allow the devil to beat us down just because we are facing difficult things. By the grace of God, we're going to believe in the Son of God. We're going to face our foe with courage because Jesus Christ has spoken to us with confidence and told us that He has all power in heaven and in earth. We know that devils are afraid of Him. We know that He's never faced a foe He couldn't conquer. We know that Jesus is risen from the dead. We have confidence in His Word. We believe that Jesus is able to do what we stand in need of. Do you believe, Jesus said, that I am able to do this? And they said, yes. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano this morning. And I don't think I know all the words of this, but Brother Eddie does. My God can do anything. Anything, yes, anything. My God can do anything. You know, some of us have some children that we might feel like that man at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration. Lord, can you do anything? I got a son. I got a daughter. I got a brother. I got a mother, a father, somebody that's lost. Lord, can you do anything? I gotta have help. My family's dying lost. My children are dishonoring God. Can you do anything, Lord? The Lord said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Brother, it didn't take Jesus but a moment to cure that boy. I mean, just spoke the word and the devils fled. And that boy was delivered and healed in a moment's time by the power of the word of Jesus. We're about to have revival. You know, as some people feel like, it's impossible to have revival. We're living in a wicked time. The devil is loose in our society. We can't have revival. Don't underestimate the Son of God.
Right.
I said, don't underestimate the Son of God. I'm going to pray, and Lord, not only do we need revival here, we need revival all across this country, from coast to coast, not just in the Holiness Movement, Presbyterian Church, Methodist Church, Baptist Church, Holiness Church, Pentecostal Church. We need revival from coast to coast. Is Jesus able? I say He's able, brother. We ought to ask big things because we've got a big God.
Yes, we do.
Don't underestimate Jesus. Hey, I've been praying for people halfway around the world. Countries that have closed the doors to the gospel. I've been praying, God, swing the doors open. Let the light break into the darkness of the minds of those people. Let them hear the gospel of Jesus. Souls being held back from the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. cocktails are raging, but I'm telling you, Jesus hadn't lost any of his power. I know the devil is a-raging, but I'm telling you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing too hard for our God. I felt this. I felt like God wanted me to tell you, don't underestimate Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! Don't underestimate Jesus. The children of Israel sinned because they asked the question, can God spread a table in the wilderness?
Yes, they did. Yes, he can.
At a table in the wilderness, and every day they walked out the door, there's bread on the ground. God fed them in the wilderness. God caused the water to come out of the rock. Oh yes, God can spread a table in the wilderness. They limited the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to limit the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to underestimate Jesus.
Right.
In our crisis, don't dismiss Jesus. In your crisis, don't dismiss the Son of God. Don't underestimate Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm telling you, Brother Mike, I'm still praying for complete healing for you because I believe Jesus is able.
Yes, amen.
I believe Jesus is able.
Yes, amen.
I know that Jesus is able. I'm telling you, I know Jesus is able.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He can do anything. I'm telling you, Jesus can do anything. Oh, yeah. I'm not just expecting God to start doing something tomorrow night. I'm expecting God to do something right here in this service this morning. I'm expecting God to help us and build our esteem in the Son of God and cause us to believe in Jesus with all of our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is walking among us this morning. Jesus can save souls.
Yes, he can.
You might feel like, hey, they're hopeless. They're beyond hope. But they're not beyond hope when Jesus is able to reach souls. Don't underestimate Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand together. Altars are open.